Hello, listeners. You are listening to a mini episode of That's Entertainment. I'm your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone. And this is one of those Aunt Beth tells Jeff to dot 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 mini episodes. Normally, on a full length episode of That's Entertainment, Aunt Beth and I, my co host Aunt Beth and I, we pick a pop culture topic and break it down according to what we call the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. You know, basically putting our love of that pop culture artifact in context. But the mini episodes are a little different. Typically, it's just me on the microphone, although that depends. But yeah, in the Aunt Beth tells Jeff to watch mini episode series, I believe it has only ever been myself on the microphone, so that any exception would be an exception, and it would be in the future if it were to happen. Anyway, the rules of the mini episodes of the Aunt Beth tells Jeff to watch mini episodes, or Aunt Beth tells Jeff to some verb mini episodes, are that my co-host, the aforementioned Aunt Beth, gives me a recommendation of some piece of pop culture, be it a movie or a television show or some piece of recorded music or whatever else that I've never seen before, at least not in its entirety. You know, despite how much I love entertainment, I haven't gotten around to it. There's only so many hours in a day. And then I hop back on the microphone and let her know what I thought about it. And all you listeners can find out what I thought about it as well by listening on through this, eavesdropping on this conversation between me and Aunt Beth. But it's not really eavesdropping because it's done through a piece of publicly available media. Anyway, so the last few years of the Aunt Beth Tells Jeff to mini episodes, I've been doing a thing called the classics, where I'm like, Aunt Beth, can you make sure that your recommendations are things that came out before I was born? You know, I was born in 1988, and she was happy to fulfill that request. But this time around, it actually kind of straddled the line a bit, because she chose things that came out in 1988, and I think some of them might have been released when I was out in this world, but I was surely a baby. So, close enough. It was certainly within the spirit of what we're looking for here. So anyway, yeah, so in the 1988 section, so far, back in the fall and then through the winter and spring, I think we've covered a couple so far. We did she asked me to watch the pilot of Roseanne. That was pretty good. And then I listened to Traveling Wilburys Volume 1, which if I'm remembering correctly, I think is the second. No. That's the first Traveling Wilburys album. And then their second one was called Traveling Wilburys Volume 3. Anyway, I think I covered it in that episode, so you can go check back there if you want to be sure. Or, you know, you can check other sources besides That's Entertainment, but I can't guarantee their veracity personally. Anyway, but now we're covering a movie that came out in 1988 that I'd never seen before, but that I was familiar with, and that is the film Working Girl, starring Melanie Griffith, Harrison Ford, Sigourney Weaver, as well as Alec Baldwin, Joan Cusack, and Nora Dunn, Oliver Platt, and Kevin Spacey and Olympia Dukakis all show up in supporting roles. Ricky Lake is in a scene. David Duchovny is listed on the credits, but I didn't notice him. I think it was a non-speaking role. But anyway, yeah, Melanie Griffith, Harrison Ford, and Sigourney Weaver are the three biggest parts. Philip Bosco might be the third big, might be the fourth biggest role, although on Wikipedia he's listed sixth after Alec Baldwin and Joan Cusack. They're about even. But anyway, he's certainly important enough to mention. Anyway, this movie was written by Kevin Wade, directed by Mike Nichols, and came out on December 21st, 1988. It had multiple Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, Best Director, Lead Actress for Melanie, Lead Supporting Actress twice for both Joan Cusack and Sigourney Weaver, and then it won one for Best Original Song. It was from Carly Simon with Let the River Run, and I was certainly familiar with that element of the movie. I believe it placed on AFI's list of the 100 greatest, the American Film Institute's list of the 100 greatest movie songs of all time. Yeah, that one was included on there. So I saw the, you know, the opening shot as that song plays of the Hudson River, or like the Staten Island ferry path of the Hudson River specifically, because Melanie Griffith's character, whose name is Tess McGill, lives on Staten Island and works in Manhattan. So, you know, she takes the ferry every day to work. So here's what happens on Aunt Beth Tells Jeff to Watch mini episode, besides, in addition to me talking about the thing I've just watched or listened to or what have you. I say what I thought about it, and then I come to a conclusion and go, would I watch it again? You know, it's easier possible, yes, in the case of a TV show where there are more episodes to watch. You know, would I continue watching it? In the case of a movie, it's like, would I, you know, would I rewatch it? And that's a tough threshold to meet, because there's just so many movies that I've yet to see. How can I spend my time rewatching some? But if I do say yes, that I would rewatch it, then whoa boy, that is quite the compliment. But you know, I suppose we could also discuss it in, you know, like in a vacuum where the typical bounds of space and time don't exist, would I watch it again? Then, you know, there we go, then we're just talking about, is it worth rewatching? Anyway, so this movie kind of broke apart from certain things I was expecting about it. I definitely knew it was like a young professional woman trying to make it in the city, you know, trying to rise up the corporate ladder, and you know, it's a new thing. More women are in the workplace and prominent roles in the 1980s, certainly more than in previous decades. So that is certainly accurate, but that perception, that expectation on my part, it was certainly proved to be true. But what was majorly different was I thought this was going to be a movie where all the female characters were supporting each other. But instead, it was kind of about backbiting and deceit and, oh, watch your back. The woman who's your boss, who you thought was your friend, might not be. And, you know, let's get into it. In a way, this is kind of like the companion piece to Wall Street, the 1987 movie, I think, that came out. Starring Michael Douglas, yeah, 1987, actually December 1987, so you know, almost exactly 1 year before Working Girl came out. But yeah, the major difference is that Wall Street has focuses on male characters more, and Working Girl focuses on female characters more, but they've both got some you know, machinations going on, corporate machinations among its main characters. So, what do we mean? And, you know, I think what was fueling my incorrect perception that they were supporting each other, all the women were supporting each other in Working Girl, was I had a picture in my mind of the movie's poster where it was like the three main female characters all together and like leaning on each other. But then I think I realized I was actually kind of conflating it with a poster for Hannah and Her Sisters, where, you know, that is very much the what's happening in the poster of Hannah and her sisters. It's the three main characters, the three sisters, I believe. I haven't seen that movie, but I assume it's Hannah and her two sisters in the poster being close to each other. But in Working Girl, the poster, at least the one that's on Wikipedia, it features Harrison Ford and Sigourney Weaver right next to each other, and meanwhile, Melanie Griffith is lurking in the background between the two of them, with her face partially obscured, with the implication, I suppose, being she's trying to fit her way in, but it's not easy. Anyway, yeah, so, spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen Working Girl, Melanie Griffith takes a job, she's got one job, and then she takes another job in a similar, basically the same industry, and Sigourney Weaver plays her new boss. They're the same age, they're both 30 years old, but Sigourney is her superior, and Sigourney, as Catherine, assures Tess, you know, if you've got any ideas for what you think we should do with our clients, or how we should move forward and make waves, make sure you share them with me, because I want you to feel like you're contributing here. I gotta mention, I believe Tess is initially working in mergers and acquisitions, and I'm like, okay, this is like, I'm getting like an American Psycho vibe here, where kind of the joke is, you know, it's a mega conglomerate company. They do finance, they do mergers, they do acquisitions. But what are they really? But there's not really that satirical element in Working Girl that there was in American Psycho. It's kind of just accepted that these are the kind of companies that exist in the 80s. And that people who are trying to rise up the corporate ladder, these are the kind of companies that they would want to work at. Tess has an idea for to try to get some company to acquire this radio station and a radio network. And Catherine's like, okay, great idea. Let's move that along. But then she discovers, oh, Catherine is trying to steal my idea and pass it off as her own. But then she's like, well, I'm going to go out. I'm going to strike out on my own. I'm going to meet up with this other guy from another company who we sometimes work with, Jack Traynor, played by Harrison Ford. And I'm going to pitch him what I think, and then we're going to work together, and we're going to make it happen. So they're making all this happen. Meanwhile, Catherine is none the wiser for most of the time. And Jack is more than just interested in Tess's business acumen. He's also interested in her personal acumen, if you know what I mean. And they live happily ever after, and Tess's plan comes through, and she's credited for it, but not without some tests along the way, and Catherine almost getting away with it, if it weren't hadn't been for those meddling kids. But that's the basic gist of it. I didn't give away all the details because I didn't want this to be a 2-hour long podcast, and you can go ahead and watch it if you like to get the full picture. Overall, this is a very compelling movie. It's one of those movies that people famously say is not getting released in theaters very much anymore. It's, an adult-centric drama made for, with a little bit of comedy in there, you know, some romantic comedy in there. It's made by adults, starring adults, made for adults, we just don't get those as much anymore. Or if they do happen, they're TV shows. They're 10-episode Apple TV miniseries. It's just, it's well written. It's well directed. It's well acted. It's just some great performers on the top of their game, and that's that. You know, as far as the romance goes, there were a few uncomfortable moments where I'm like, is Jack crossing a line here? Even though he's trying to not cross a line, I mean, compared to some other guys in the cast in Tess's business circle who are just who are creeps who don't make any effort to hide it. You know, so it doesn't, in this environment, it doesn't, you don't have to be that upstanding to be better than than a lot of Tess's colleagues. But still, I was like, I don't know. Even, you know, let's not just judge Jack by the lowest bar to clear. Let's also ask, you know, is he being decent? And for the most part, he is. And he respects Tess and stands up for her when the tide seemed to be turning against her. So, you know, for the overall, I'm like, it works, at least by movie logic. There's a few months where I'm like, yeah, you know, they're stretching things a bit, but hey, it makes emotional sense, whether or not it makes logical sense. And okay, so yeah, I think those are I believe I've covered all the major points that I wanted to cover. So I hope Beth finds this report satisfactory. Would I ever watch this movie again? Well, let's go back to my metric. Would I do it? Would I make time for it again over a new movie that I haven't seen or an old movie that is a classic that I've yet to see? Probably not. But if I were stuck in a cabin and we didn't have any access to the internet because we were like in the most remote part of the North Pole, but we do have power and there's a TV that doesn't get cable, but we do have a DVD player and the only DVD is Working Girl, would I watch it in that case? Yeah, it'd be enjoyable. Hopefully there'd be someone there to watch it with me. And I could be like, hey, this was what I thought when I saw this scene the first time. What do you think now that you're seeing it for the first time? Or the multiple time, if it's someone who has also seen it before. Okay, so that concludes another very successful Aunt Beth Tells Jeff to Watch mini-episode. And in the meantime, in between you listening to this episode and any future episodes, you can leave us a review. We'll happily read it on air. You could do that one way is by going to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. You can follow us on social media. We're on Blue Sky and Instagram and Facebook, and also another one. And you can follow us on, you can support us on Patreon if you'd like. We have some ideas in the works, so you should be getting excited for that, I must say. But in the meantime, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.